this man with the word tonight, Lord, that you'd bring to these people. And I pray, Lord, as you bring it out of him, Lord God, let it be your word, not his.
That's right.
And that every word that he brings, Lord, he not change a bit of it, just what you've given him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. How about everybody go, whoop! God, I heard a curly out there somewhere. Whoop, 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 whoop. Are you glad to be in God's house tonight? Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We started this last week, week before last. Don't forget the Meals on Wheels will be here Sunday morning. I believe God's going to use him in a very special way. He was reminding me of the first time we met. I was carrying him out to eat supper or eat dinner, and Jamil Mills, they're Indians, they're full-blooded Indians. I'm trying to think of what the kind of Indians they are, but she reached behind my head and grabbed my hair and said, "What a nice head of hair." I was on I-95, pulled right over on the side of the road. Yeah, that's a pony, that's right. And I pulled my hair, and I said, and she said, "Nice head of hair," and I pulled over on the side of the road. She said, "Why are you pulling over on the side of the road?" I said, "When an Indian behind my head is grabbing my hair, somebody's getting ready to lose something, and I want to be off the road when it happens." Amen. I thought she was getting ready to scout me. Amen. Galatians 5, 19 to 26. Galatians 5, 19. I was telling y'all to turn to it, and I ain't even turned to it yet. Isn't that cool? That's right. Okay, Galatians 5, 19 through 26. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But I love when God, when you start seeing the bad stuff here, the hammer just dropped. I always like the but. Amen. When the but's there telling you that although the hammer dropped, we have hope. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're an all-awesome, all-seeing, all-powerful God. I thank you, God, that you are more than able to meet every need in our life. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch. I thank you, God, for a wonderful day, Lord, and you. Lord, your Spirit moving in a very powerful way. Lord, I thank you, God, when we can get out of the way and let you work. It's just so awesome. I ask you, God, to help us more than ever to get out of the way and let you work. Father, without you, Lord, we're nothing. With you, Lord, we can do all things. I ask you right now to touch, anoint this service. Lord, let it be fresh, invigorating, in the name of Jesus we pray. The church said, amen, amen, amen. Now, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Matter of fact, we've been talking about one, and that's joy. And it's odd, or not odd, because God does this. It's amazing, actually, that I happened to get a letter. I reckon it came in the mail yesterday from Pitt Detention Center. And it's from a guy that hardly ever talked at all. I bet I haven't been able to get 10 words out of him, it seems like. Of course, he gives me more than that, but it just feels like it. And today, he writes me a 5-page letter. And he just starts out saying that he actually had not really believed strongly in God until we, the guys, started going around there, and he started seeing love manifested. He said it was amazing when he saw the love manifested and the joy manifested. And he said now he's giving his heart back to the Lord because he saw the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That's amazing to me. How a hardened guy he was more than hardened, he was afraid. Some of those guys are really hardened, some of them are afraid. But it always amazes me how when you let the fruit of the Spirit show in your life, how it always seems to break them down. And they're not just doing it once or twice, but constantly. When they see it, it breaks them down. And I thank God for that. So the fruit of the Spirit, these are not nine fruits. It's one fruit, but it's the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. There's nine manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. So God wants it to flow, not only just flow in our life, He wants it to be abundant. Abundant. If the fruit of the Spirit is abundant in your life, it will really start touching people. And see, when we start letting the fruit flow through us, it's a proof that one greater than us has taken up a residence in us. It lets people know that someone greater than us is in us, empowering us. The fruit of the Spirit is a hard thing sometimes to let grow. Amen. Especially when it works of the flesh. You want the flesh to rise up so bad. Sometimes you're pushing that flesh down. You're pushing it down. Come on now, get out of here. But when you let the fruit flow, good things happen. Amen. It makes us extremely hated by Satan, but loved by the world. It attracts us to them. So here we go. We're talking about joy. Week before last, we talked about joy. But now we're going to talk about joy killers. And we're going to talk about joy killers in relationships. Wow. How many's ever had the joy taken out of you? And how many's ever had the joy taken out of your relationship? Don't raise your hands if you're sent by somebody. Just look at me and go. I'm kidding. Joy killers in relationships. Now I'm going to give you some things that can actually kill relationships, kill the joy in relationships. And when I say relationships, I'm not just talking about man and wife. I'm talking about father and child, mother and child. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about church members that sit with us and we go out with all the time. Joy killers. All right? Joy killers. Ready? The first and the most awesome joy killer, not awesome, awful joy killer in relationships. If you're taking notes, please write these down. The number one thing that'll kill joy in a relationship is selfishness. Selfishness. It might not be you that's being the selfish one. It may be the other party that's being selfish. But selfishness in a relationship, whether it be a marriage, whether it be kids, whether it be your friends, when selfishness is manifested, it will kill, not necessarily the relationship, but it will kill the joy in the relationship. James 3:16 says, wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, what's selfish ambition? Selfishness. Whenever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there will be disorder and every other kind of evil. In other words, when you begin to focus on yourself, then, or the other person begins to focus on their self only, now the door opens up and Satan can have a heyday. He can play with your mind. If you're the one receiving it, he'll play with your mind. He'll tell you how they don't care about you. He'll tell you how you're nothing, you're no good, you're nobody. He'll tell you, just try to keep kicking you to the curb. And if you're the one that's manifesting the selfishness, he'll tell you things like, you're not getting what you deserve. You're not getting what you need. You need better than this. And so Satan can have a heyday if we allow selfishness to get in our relationships. The cure, 1 Corinthians 6:19, remember this. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit which lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. When I realize I'm not my own, I'm God's. Wow. That can help me to, listen, that even helps me when I'm trying to say, God, let your Spirit manifest Himself through me and the fruit of the Spirit. Help me, God. And here's how, hey, look, it always starts with, God, I'm not my own anyway. I'm yours. You know what to do. Number one thing, selfishness. Number two, usually number two is going to be from the person that's receiving the number one thing I said, selfishness. So you say, well, I'm not being selfish, so I'm clear on that one. Good. Praise God. But if you've been on the receiving end of somebody selfish, here's what can hit you. You got to be careful. Resentment. Wow. I have been in relationships. I'm going to have to tell you, whether it be with my kids or with somebody else or at work, people that I work with, there have been times when selfishness did get in there. David Linton got in the way. I know y'all never have that problem, but David Linton gets in David Linton's way from time to time. But what's been even worse is when somebody else, I'm watching it manifest in them. If I'm not careful, especially if they're going to jump over me on my job, and they're going to get promoted above me because they threw that selfishness card out and somehow or another they manipulated the system and they got ahead of me. Whatever it was, I find myself getting resentful. I remember getting passed over for promotions because, and I'm just going to tell you, because I was a male. I was a white male. I got passed over for promotions. And my boss come and told me, you're the best one for the job, but you're not going to get it. But I need you to train these three people that got your job. That's the fact. I'm sorry. I kind of hate to say it that way, but it's the truth. All right? And so when I got passed over, and then I had to train everybody, then while they were walking around getting the money in their pocket, I was going to run around trying to keep everything running for the three that got promoted, when if they gave me the job, it would have been a whole lot different. So I got to admit, I got a little resentful. Matter of fact, I got a lot resentful. God had to help me because I was ready to let somebody hold something. And so God worked on me and God helped me and helped me to understand that I've got a season for you, and when your season comes, nobody's going to get in the way. And I did have that season, and when it came, nobody could get in the way. God took me, and the elevator took off, and it went right on up, and I found out I went past where they were. I was way up here, but I had to stay down here and deal with my resentment. Once I dealt with the resentment, then God put me over here. So you got to hold on to trust. Resentment. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for it springs up. As it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. Resentment can really, I mean really, hurt you. It can put you to the point where you're trying to serve God and you're wondering why God's not helping you. You feel like everybody's getting all the breaks. And sometimes it's because that root of bitterness has taken root inside of you. And once it takes root, how many know that you just can't cut things off at the top? You got to take the root out. You're trying to get rid of a weed, you got to get rid of the root. And so because I found out I was just cutting off at the top. Saying when people come to me and say, what do you think about that? I cut off the top of it. Well, that's okay. How do you like that? You got to train them people, and you're. Why do you think about that? Well, that's okay. I was cutting it off at the top, but I was still resentful. And I found myself thinking thoughts that I should not be thinking about people around me, especially those three people that got promoted above me. So what I had to do was I had to get down with God and say, God, you got to help me deal with this bitterness, this resentment. I am so resentful. That was money in my pocket, food on my table. That would have helped with a car payment. That would help with groceries. And instead, I'm doing the work of my work and their work, and they're getting paid. They got promoted way above me. I can't stand it, Lord. It's driving me up the wall. And the Lord told me, when you can learn to deal with it, you'll fly. And so I said, Lord, you got to help me. And so I found myself, when I got around those people, I would say this. Here's what I would say. It's God who raises up and puts down. God's in control. And I'd hold on to it. God's in control. And I learned that lesson so valuable at Procter & Gamble that when I was at Fountain and the same thing happened again, but this time they gave me the promotion, took it away from me. But I don't know why they did it, but they gave it to me one day, took it away the next day because the person come back on their job and they said something and they gave it back to them. And this time I handled it different. I didn't get resentful. I said, God, you raise them up and you put them down. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? Within a matter of months, I wasn't the supervisor, which they were trying to promote me to. I was the manager of the whole department. Because now I learned how to handle it. Resentment. You got to watch it. Here's the cure. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. If we're not forgiving our past wrong, if we're not forgiving people that have caused us bitterness, then we're living in direct disobedience to God's word. Direct. You got to learn to let it go. You got to let it go. There's things in your life that's happened to you, and I see it. Bethany, bless her heart, abused by her stepdad and her dad. And I'm here trying to help pick up the pieces. And I remember telling Bethany, we're going to deal with this girl. Let's deal with this. And you got to learn how to forgive them. You know, again, and I'm talking to a child. And the Lord got me one night. I'm trying to help her. We had just come through her first operation with her nose. She was all bandaged up. She couldn't do anything. Her tears were just crying. She cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. She could not even be crying as she was crying because they had done so much work on her face. 5 years old, and it was the 4th of July. And I was working on a sermon for the 4th of July on learning how to be free and forgiven. And here I am working on this sermon, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You don't need to be preaching this sermon." And I said, "Why, Lord?" He says, "It's the right sermon. I got the wrong person preaching it." And I spoke to the Lord again. I said, "Lord, I know I got the right one. It says the right one, but I got the wrong person preaching." I said, "Well, I'm the pastor." He said, "Yeah." He said, "But you haven't forgiven those guys for what they did to Bethany." He said, "You're so mad at them right now, you would hurt them. You would kill them after going through this surgery." And he said, "Until you can forgive them, I don't want you talking about forgiveness." Talk about taking to the woodshed. And so I got in my little closet and I said, "God, you're going to have to help me because I can't forgive them on my own. You're going to have to help me." I'm watching her cry. She's crying. She's in so much pain. At 5 years old, I didn't want anybody else to look at her. "Please don't let anybody look at me, Daddy. I look terrible. Don't let anybody look at me." I'm looking at her. She's hurting. She's crying. We're all crying. The doctor was crying when the doctor tried to tell us about it. The doctor says it's 100% worse than I thought it was. He's crying. And she's home. She's sitting in the parsonage. She's just, tears are going. DC and Daniel are crying. And I look at this. And I said, "God, if you don't help me, I can't do it." And he said, "My son did. Listen, ask my son. He'll help you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so that night, me and the Lord had a come to Jesus meeting, literally. And then he told me, "Okay, now tomorrow I want you to preach on the freedom of forgiveness. You're ready." Joy killer. Number one is selfishness. Me, 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 me. What am I going to get out of this? Secondly is resentment. They shouldn't have hurt me. If they shouldn't have hurt me. If I hadn't been hurt, I'd be happy. If I hadn't been hurt, I could be anywhere. If they hadn't got promoted over me, I'd be up here somewhere. If they hadn't hurt me, there's no telling what I'd be doing right now. And that resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness. And then the third one, this is more like a Tuesday night, I know, but it's heavy, but we're going to go. We're already in it now. Let's go ahead and dive deeper. Y'all ready to dive deeper? Okay, one of you ready. Number three, joy killer. Fear. In relationships, the Bible says the anxious heart weighs a man down. Proverbs 11:25. Fear in a relationship does three things. Listen carefully. It puts you on the defense. You're defensive. You're distant. And you'll find yourself demanding. Listen carefully. Defensive, distant, and demanding. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you might not understand and it might not make sense to you. Sit in it and think on it for a while. But if somebody's ever been abusive to you in a relationship, I'm not talking about necessarily physical abuse. I'm just talking about just abusive. And you're full of fear because of that, and you're scared it's going to happen again. So you get defensive, you get distant, and you put unrealistic demands on yourself and on them. I want you to understand something. The person that is doing the abusing, listen carefully. The person that's doing the abusing is also fearful. Matter of fact, they're more fearful than you are. And they're defensive. And they're distant. And they're demanding. Wow. You think, well, they just run over me like a freight train. Why? Because if they let fear get a hold of them, they're going to run. So they run first. So watch this. The cure, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I've called that to myself so many times. God's not given us a spirit of fear, timidity. Timidity means when something comes up, you want to draw back. When you're getting problems, you want to draw back. When it's a relationship problem, you want to draw back. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, the ability to handle this stuff, love, the ability to love the unlovable, and to have a sound mind, which means literally the ability to think under pressure, to think under a heavy load. So now, here we go. How can I handle this if I've had my joy killer hit me? Whether it be selfishness or resentment or fear. How can I overcome this? I want you to listen carefully. If you're taking notes, please write this down. This is something that will last you a lifetime. This right here will take you places that you've never been in, good places. First, get that right perspective. God, help me get my right perspective going here. Help me get my mind in the right position. Help me get thinking. Help me get my hidden gear. Help me to actually think. You know, like tonight, the piano needs tuning. And so because the piano needs tuning, to me, all the other instruments are off. Because the piano needs tuning. This piano doesn't. When this one's played, I don't hear that. But when this one's played because it's out of tune, I hear everything off. As Boo was getting ready to sing, I reached down to adjust my amp and hit my machine head. So my bass got out of tune. So I'm trying to tune it, and I heard Boo strum his strings. And when I heard him strum his strings, at the same time, Eddie heard it. And Eddie said, everybody said, just time right together, he's out of tune too. And so I had to get in tune. We're going to have a piano tuner to do this one. But I got back in tune. I tuned, and he got back in tune. If you'll notice, now they blended together good because they were all in tune. They weren't blending to start with. They're blending together. Well, the same thing happens. We're trying to get joy in our relationships, joy in our life. If we're not careful, we'll be so out of tune. We might not can hear it, but somebody that is sensitive to it, they can hear it, they can see it, they can feel it, and they'll know, hey, something just ain't right. Amen? So here we go. It's like last night. Last night I had Emmy over, and we were waiting for Gammy. Gammy was in the bathroom. And I said, Emmy, what you want to eat? She said, I want pizza. So we went and got pizza. And we're coming up, and we're sitting there, and my legs were hurting from being outside. And I come in, my legs are hurting. I'm hungry, and I'm waiting on Gammy. And I sit there, and then Emmy's, you know, bouncing around. Emmy sits down beside me. And then she takes my hair, and she says, let me try a new hairstyle, Paw. And she takes my hair and does one of those comb-over things. And I said, Emmy, I don't think Papa wants a new hairstyle right now. And she looked at me and said, are you okay? An 8-year-old. And I said, why am I not okay? She says, because you don't look like you're having a good time. I looked over at Emmy and I said, Emmy, Pawpaw's fine. My knees are hurting, waiting on Gammy. I'm hungry. And then you just gave me a sideburn thing. I said, we're all right. She says, okay, Pawpaw, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. I said, well, you be happy then. All right. Here it goes. Here's three things I want you to focus on. And then I'm going to tell you how you can be joyful in spite of all this stuff. Adjust your focus. Here it is. Number one. And this is hard to do. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy, people wouldn't walk around being resentful. People wouldn't walk around being afraid. People wouldn't walk around being selfish. People wouldn't walk around without joy. They'd all be doing this. Get ready. It's not easy. It's going to require the Holy Spirit to help you. Number one, focus on giving rather than receiving. The Bible says in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to receive, or there's more happiness in giving than receiving. If you can focus on giving than receiving, then any of that tendency to have that selfishness, it'll kill that selfishness. It'll burn it out. It'll burn it right out. All right? Number two. Again, with resentment. This is with resentment. Focus on healing rather than hurting. Too many times we focus on the hurt. We want to keep pulling back the Band-Aid and show everybody how I got hurt. There you go, well, why aren't you any better than you are? Because look at here, because of them. Or we want to tell them, I'd be in better places if it hadn't been for this. And we want to keep pulling back that Band-Aid. Watch this now. Focus on healing rather than hurting. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Colossians 3:13. That's like I had to do with Bethany's stepdad and Bethany's dad. I had to learn to forgive them. And I really believe with all my heart now, I have forgiven them. I can't say how I would act if I got around them because I'm not around them. But I would like to think I could carry myself in a good Christian way. Amen? I'm not going to make any promises, but I will tell you this, I forgive them. All right. Number three. That's right. Number three. Focus on God's power rather than your problem. If you're going to get over fear, focus on God's power rather than your problem. Trust in God at all times. Pour your hearts out to Him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 62:8. If you can focus on the promises versus the problem. I was just telling somebody today. Somebody today was telling me in Chocowinity. They were telling me outside of Andy. Somebody was talking to me because I'm getting stopped everywhere. I get stopped constantly. And just last Wednesday night, I got a call. And when I got this call, and somebody said it was my aunt who never calls me. I don't think she's called me once in 15 years, and she calls me. And I was busy over at Daniel's. Daniel and Michelle have done something awesome. For Christmas, they gave us a certificate. It says, every Wednesday night for this year, you come to our house every Wednesday night, we're going to give you a home-cooked meal. And they're doing it, and it's awesome. I even try to help them. Let me do it. No, this is our gift to you. Dad, just come over here and eat. So I go get a nice home-cooked meal. And so I was sitting down getting that home-cooked meal, and the phone rang. I didn't recognize the number. So I said, I'll get back to it. And it left a long message. So I get back to the message, and the message says, there's somebody we know. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but there's somebody that needs some help, and they need you to go help calm them down and do some emergency counseling. And so I eventually called her back and said, well, how did they even know about me? I mean, how did I come up in this conversation? and then she started naming off how down the line, who knew who. But all of a sudden, I wind up in the line, and I got called in to go in and help these people out. So again, you know, today, a person told me, I'm afraid I'm losing my ability to think clearly. And it was a Christian. So I told the Christian, I said, let's don't focus on the problem. Let's focus on the promise. The promise is, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, the ability to think clearly. So next time you're having a problem trying to think, I want you to call the scripture out to you, and I want you to bring the scripture up, and I want you to just talk it to yourself, meditate on it. And you claim that promise. Because if you don't, you are going to talk yourself into a tizzy. Claim the promises of God. God, listen, and trust Him with the results. So now, again, focus on giving than receiving. Focus on healing rather than hurting. And focus on God's power rather than your problem. Now, how can I have joy in spite of all these things? How can you have joy no matter what? How many like to have joy no matter what? I mean, no matter what, I want joy. Here we go. Number one, I can be joyful in spite of circumstances. Number one, because God is with me. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. God's with me. Is He with you? If He's with you, you can have joy. Amen. He says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. They will not overwhelm you. When you pass through the fire, you won't be burnt. The hard trials that come to you will not hurt you, for I am the Lord your God. You can trust me. I will be there with you. I am the fourth man in the fire. I shut the lion's mouth in the lion's den. You can trust me because God is with me. I can have joy. No matter how bad the circumstance is, I can have joy. Amen. I can sit back and think about some very hard times in my life. And I remember somebody even come to me and talked to me. I was standing in line at the funeral home. My mama's casket was right there. And somebody come to me and started talking. And I looked at him and I smiled. And when I looked at him and I smiled, they said, and then they said something to me. And I just perked right up and I just started talking about how good God was. And blah, blah. And they said, "How can you do that? Your mama's laying right there in that coffin." I said, "My mama ain't in that coffin." I said, "My mama's in heaven with God." I said, "Matter of fact, if mama could, she'd come down and whoop me if I was down here crying and slobbering all over this coffin. My mama done told me she was going to a better place and be rejoicing for her." And I said, "I'm not looking at the circumstance. I'm rejoicing that God's got her and God's got me right now. Praise the Lamb of God, because God's with us." Number two, I can be joyful. Oh, here's a good one. If you please write this down. If you didn't write anything else down, write this one down. Everybody, this is true for everybody in here. All of it is, but especially I want you to think about this and focus on it. I can be joyful in spite of circumstances, number one, because God is with me. Number two, I can be joyful because God has a plan for me. He's got a plan for you. You know that. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and give you, and you can give me glory. Listen to it. Listen, Psalm 50 and 15. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. Woo! I want you to trust me because when you're going through something, let me tell you something. You could take some old rusty, I'm trying to think of Tibet. There's some place. I'm trying to think of where it's at. They had this great old big statue. This statue weighed several tons. And it was clay. And they were having to move this thing because it's in the middle of the square and they were having to move it so they could reserve it and preserve it without destroying it and still have room to put this highway in. This was just a few years ago. They go in and they try to move this thing. And as they try to move it, it gets off balance because it's so heavy. And when it turns over, they knock pieces of clay off of it. And they said, "Oh no, we have just ruined a precious relic that's thousands of years old." And so they tried to put it back up there, but they couldn't. And they noticed something underneath where they had broke that clay off, so they began to rub. And they found out that this statue was made of pure gold. And they had put clay on it to preserve it. When they moved it, never took it off, and nobody knew it. So they had all this massive fortune right here in this awesome gold statue covered with clay. But once the damage hit, the gold was exposed. You know where I'm going with this. Some of y'all in here don't realize your worth. And you've been damaged. And you think that damage is going to ruin you. No, that damage is exposing the true worth that God has in you. Wow. Isn't that awesome? God's got such a worth on you and God's got such a call on your life and God's got so much He has in store for you. And so many times we've got it covered with clay and God says, "I allow the trouble so you can have your value really shown." Wow. Some of y'all are probably thinking, "I must really be valuable." Mother Teresa, I think it was Mother Teresa, who was it, said, "God, I know you trust me. I just wish sometimes you didn't trust me so much." Amen. And number three. God is with me. He's got a plan for me. And number three, because God will help me. Why be so gloomy and discouraged? Trusting God that I shall praise Him for His wondrous help. He will make me smile again. Psalm 43 and 5. Wow, why am I so downtrodden? Why am I so downcast? God's got something special. He wants to put a smile back on my face. God wants to put a smile on your face. God wants that joy, unspeakable and full of glory, to abound. Right now, you can be right at your seats or you can come up here. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. You know, if any of these have hit you tonight, to either number one, let you know what's going on, or number two, to let you know what you might need to work on, or number three, know how to handle the situation you're in, I want you just to hold it to yourself, and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to do what God does best. Remember, that gold statue, solid gold, and nobody knew it. But the injury showed its true worth. Your injury, what's hurting you right now, is actually revealing your true worth. And you know what I've learned? Two things. The greater the mission, the greater the discouragement to keep me from doing the mission. And number two, the closer to the mission, the greater the discouragement because he's trying to keep me from the mission. So just hold on. It's going to be okay. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that although there's joy killers in relationships, joy killers, when we get around other people, there's joy killers, and we don't have to even be around people. I know, God, that it gets rough, it gets tough, it makes us want to just sometimes pull our hair out, makes us want to scream sometimes. But, Lord, you knew this stuff was coming. Not only did Mama say there are going to be days like this, God, you said there are going to be days like this. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to see, to know, to understand, to figure out through your help and to get on our knees at the altar and let you assist us so that we won't become resentful, that we won't become bitter, that we won't let fear weigh us down. Father, help us, God. We don't need fear to help us become, make us come defensive or distant or demanding. Father, we need you right now to touch and to anoint in a very powerful way. You're an awesome God. You're more than able to do this. We trust you totally right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you for new beginnings and we thank you for a new song. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, come back Tuesday night. Tuesday night, all this stuff is about relationships. Tuesday night, we're going to be talking about communication. Again, our church is right there. Remember this. The more powerful your mission is, including this church, collectively and individually, the more powerful your mission is, the more powerful Satan will come against you. Okay, so if he's not coming against you at all, you better pray for God to give you a mission. Number two, the closer you get to engaging, the harder Satan fights because he wants to keep you from engaging. So hang on, buckle your seatbelt or unbuckle your seatbelt, so to speak, and let God do something special. I can feel it. I can sense it. You can see it. This morning's service was just so liberating. It was so awesome. Satan tried to get us to think it was going to be hindered. It weren't hindered. It was just awesome. And I believe next week's going to be even more awesome. And now I will tell you this, unless the Lord changed my mind, because he did change my mind a couple weeks ago, next week is the last on New Song, but it's going to be about three people. And you might find yourself falling in any one of these categories. David, who lost his joy. Jonah, who lost his direction. Or Jeremiah, who lost his discernment. But God gave them all new songs. So think about it. Come on back. Be ready for what God can do for you. Amen. And bring something, not next week, it's the week after. That's right, we got the meals next week. It's the week after. Praise God. I keep forgetting. Meals on wheels. Meals on wheels. Meals on wheels. Meals on wheels. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah, that would be something. Okay. So now, everybody's heart and mind clear? You ready to go out and get it done for God? Y'all sound so enthusiastic. I've seen more enthusiasm than people standing in line for a root canal. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for this night. We thank you for your power, your anointing. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Lord, use us, God, as we go out into this world, Father. We don't come in here just to learn about you. Come in here to learn how to fight and learn how to do what you've called us to do. Help us go out there and spread your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.